stays there.
I'm looking at it. No, it's where you have it is not optimal.
Yes, I know.
Because the way the light reflects off of this, because this is like a shiny silver surface.
It washes it out.
It washes it out. But if you get it at the right angle, you can see all of the fine, detailed line work on it, which is actually cool.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting that the radar dish is there, because as you recall, this radar dish was lost in the attack run on the second Death Star. So I'm not sure what they're going for here, if this is pre-second
It's possible that it could have been repaired after that incident.
It was, with a square radar dish in Force Awakens.
Well, excuse me.
Nerd alert! Smike, I'm sorry that my son fucking hates everything about you. Wow. Damn.
I was just kind of tuning them out.
Okay. Like you did with bullies in school, right? My son is a bully when it comes to you.
He's cranky and he's up later than he usually is.
We think he's having a growth spurt because he napped for 3 hours at daycare and now he's sleepy again. So.
But yeah, I showed up and he was not pleased that there was an interloper in the house.
No, that was pretty vague and understated. He was very angry you were here. You specifically. I believe when Erica asked him if he wanted you to go down to the basement, he replied, I want him to go back to his house, which is not nice. So I'm sorry about that.
It could have been worse. I mean,
he could have called to you.
He didn't say I want him to go to hell or
give him time. Give him time.
Yeah, okay, I don't want to just fuck off. And
this is my son we're talking about. these things are inevitable. Kids say the darndest things. Well, better than how he. I think it's still better than what the Colin treatment.
All right. So this is what happened at our little New Year's Eve gathering.
Hi, we are buddies in space. You are
S. Michael Smith. You are
and Michael Carassi
and. Welcome to the new year.
Yeah, welcome to the new year.
This is our first recording of the new year and the first podcast that's going to be released in the new year, I believe.
Correct. I got the other one up on time, New Year's Eve.
All right. So this it all meshes together then.
Aha, we are not liars on this podcast.
So we had a nice little, it was pretty casual and
super
relaxed.
Cash.
Yeah.
Super cash.
Not the sort of New Year's Eve. Not what I would call a bash by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't think any of us want that at this point.
No.
We're not New Year's Eve bash.
We're not bashers. I don't think I ever was a basher.
I was a basher.
All right.
Or I wanted to be a basher and then found my way into bashettes. We'll say like a vignette, you know, it's kind of a smaller movie. It's a bashette.
Oh, okay. These are not. I was thinking, I thought you were talking about a girl or a woman who would attend a bash. A bashette and be like, and then I found bashettes and then I wasn't, you know, I didn't care for them. I thought I'd like the girls I would meet at the bash, but no.
Who knew?
The bashettes were just
bashettes
not my cup
people.
Of tea.
They're not in my wheelhouse. They're not my bailiwick. Not any other euphemism for things that are not for my taste.
So no, you're referring to a small bash, a bashlet maybe.
A bashlet. Yeah, okay. I like that. A bashlet. This was not a bashlet.
No, not even.
A small group dinner, which was a
not even
fun
a
time.
Shindig, really. It was
no shindigs do not involve 4 hours of YouTubing.
No,
to welcome in the new year,
and not unless there's some more serious drugs involved.
Yeah,
and there really wasn't. I mean, we had a couple of drinks, but it was pretty minor.
I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of college kids out there like, yeah, I love 4 hours of YouTube because they're all fucking high doing visualizers on YouTube or something.
But yes.
Although the Empire of the Sun video is pretty trippy.
It is pretty trippy.
But what happened to poor Colin at the hands of my bully
I
son?
Believe that we went out to dinner at a lovely restaurant, Chakara, which is in Fairport, and they do like a Asian fusion sort of menu.
Asian Indian, yeah.
Yeah, so there's like some Indian dishes, some Thai stuff. And they recently got a sushi chef there, so he's got his little corner, little station. Sushi was really good, but that's what Melinda and I had. Mm. Anyway, and it was us and your son and our friends Colin and Grace. And I believe the problem that Simon was really having was that he didn't like Colin's face.
He had a real problem with Colin's face.
Yeah.
I think specifically the amount of hair above and on Colin's face. Plus, perhaps his height.
Colin's got a serious beard.
He's got a serious build.
He's a little on the tall side.
Yeah, I said Bill. He's got a serious build. He's got a serious beard. He has a serious amount of hair. He's a very tall gentleman. I think Simon may have been a little confused that he was a bear, perhaps. a mountain lion, a deranged hobo. Any of those things are, I mean, from a two-year-old's perspective, totally understandable.
Yeah. Has he met many other men with that level of beard?
I think just Colin and Stu.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, my father-in-law is baby-faced.
Yeah?
Yeah. Brother-in-law, no? Yeah, I don't think he deals with a lot of the serious, like, lumberjack beard.
All right, so this is a new experience for him.
Well, I mean, no, he's met Colin before. A new beard encounter. He's in a new phase. This is pretty recent.
Well, okay, but you say when he's met Colin before, how long ago was that?
It's been a little while, okay. Yeah.
So that memory could be purged by now.
It's since the last phase has changed, yes. So we are now in Purge 2, or perhaps Purge 3. All hail the purging. I don't know what the fuck the titles are. Have you seen the problems with the Purge thing that like BuzzFeed did?
I've seen a couple of them. I mean, they're pretty... If you're watching the Purge or one of the Purge movies, and you're the kind of person that likes to pick at plot holes... I mean, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
Because...
That's all yeah. It is.
If you're bothered by that sort of thing, by plot holes, what the fuck are you doing watching this movie, you idiot? No, it's a movie about people killing each other.
One day a year.
One day a year. It's a Star Trek episode premise taken to the nth level and made into a movie without Star Trek
stuff. And then Rick and Morty did it.
Yeah.
Their way.
Obviously.
The video I'm specifically referring to is like a bunch of new hires at a company or start on the day of the purge. And so the HR woman's like, yeah, you need to kill everyone. But what they do is that it sort of, it pokes at that, like sort of the thing I really like where it's the juxtaposition of the surreal and the really, really like mundane. So it's like these people nitpicking really specific questions.
It's like, if I steal a car and the day after the purge,
do I
have to give the car back? Do I have to register it?
And then like one guy's about to kill one of them. And he's like, oh shit. Yeah, that's a good question. And then he like is standing there with his mask on asking. But I just love that because there's people going on killing each other around it, but no one is interfering in it.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of this island of nerdery. Like, and the woman's getting more and more frustrated. She's like, just go fucking kill people. Why are you asking me these questions? Sorry. I think that's very funny. Anyway. So
if you're in an embassy in the country that's having a purge, is the embassy protected from the purge?
If you're an embassy of a country that does the purge, but the embassy is located in a country that doesn't do the purge.
Okay, but what if they do it on a different day?
Can you purge in the embassy on your country's day? Or do you have to honor the country you're in's day? Because you're on sovereign soil.
Is there a purge exchange?
Yeah, that's a good question. What if I didn't want to purge? I just wanted to, like, lightly dip my toe. Is there, like, a purge light? Is there a warm-up purge? Or, like, a beginner's purge? Like, a purge orientation. That's what they need to build in. Is that what answers a lot of these questions?
Like a purge-torial?
Yes. Yes, I think a purge-torial is... In fact, I don't know why that isn't just in the plot.
My first purge.
It's what you read to your child right after everybody poops. And before why you have two daddies. So it's sort of in between that. What can they handle? What can they understand?
Yeah.
Because murder is pretty easy to get for a child, I think.
I guess. I mean, it seems messed up that I guess a child or an infant would be subject to purging. Although they really can't do much purging themselves. That doesn't really seem fair.
That's not fair. So where do you draw the line there? Yeah.
They don't really have much of a chance in the whole purge.
You're screwed if you're a parent because you got to pull like double duty.
Yeah.
Like, you're expected to go out and do your American civic right and duty of killing people, but you got to keep fucking kids safe.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
What if you're in the military and you like have access to like a tank? Can you steal a tank during purge and have joyride. No consequences? Go on a joyride. Tank.
How much of that Manhattan
did you have? Much. Hardly any yet. It is very tasty, though. What are we drinking here?
Wow, we are all over the place, this podcast. So this is it's from Nerds with Knives, I think is the website. And it is a maple-infused Manhattan.
Okay.
So I wanted to do something with the pot still whiskey that you got me for Christmas. And I wanted to do something kind of mundane. Like, not mundane, but something familiar and then making it interesting.
Okay.
So
this is your... The second pot still that we've got for you. Is this the second that you've had?
This is the local McKenzie, I think, pot still?
Yes, it's a local I can't imagine it's in the same league as the red breast.
Not even close.
But I thought my wife and I thought it would be interesting for you to see the difference between two different pot still whiskeys.
It's night and day, and we should have Melinda try them, because you were asking me to do the explain single malt versus.
Is this a single malt? Or is it?
I don't think so. I'm just mean if you want to see the difference that the same style of whiskey can have between different places, it's fucking insane. So this is licorice. It's super herbaceous. I have not tasted many things that the word herbaceous actually immediately applies to as well as this pot still.
Okay.
And when I have it next to Redbreast, I'm like, oh my God, these are different animals entirely. This is insane. It actually did not taste good to go from the Redbreast to this.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, the Redbreast was such a different, obviously stronger strength, but I do water it a bit. But just going from that to that was very difficult, because the Redbreast was I'm going to pummel Mackenzie into the ground. And not because you're drinking me after. You drank me before, but the leftover residue of pure angry Irish Redbreast.
It's I set up shop in this mouth. And anything that tries to come in here after me is going to get the shit pounded out.
You know what it is? Let's just paint a very clear picture. Redbreast is Gandalf standing on my tongue, and the Mackenzie tries to come in, and he goes, "You shall not pass." And then my mouth fucking lights up for some reason.
See, I was going to go with the Redbreast is your son.
and
I'm the Mackenzie coming in, and Redbreast is like, "No, you go home. I don't want you here. I want him to go home."
But that's more of a passive whininess.
Okay.
Redbreast is a little more aggressive. If my son ran at you with a kitchen knife, I think that would really encapsulate the experience that happened in my mouth when I tried these back to back. But as you can see, it tastes just fine. You just can't have them together.
It does taste fine.
No.
And there's more stuff going on. So you've added a little some syrup, some maple.
Yep, so some real maple syrup and some Angostura aromatic bitters.
Mm-hmm.
And a very, very large corkscrew lemon twist.
Ah, nice.
Yes.
Well, it's delicious.
Yes, thank you. Strong.
Yeah.
They say feel free to water this down, but you just wait it out with the ice.
And... Yeah. You nurse it.
Even I'm nursing this a bit.
Yeah.
It was a long day of board gaming.
Yeah, this is a kind of a, it was a day off for everyone, except for, fortunately, the daycare center where you take your son.
They were so overstaffed today.
Overstaffed?
Yeah, they put a sign-up sheet up, 2 weeks ago, and said, will you be bringing your child in on January 2nd?
Uh-huh.
And a whole bunch of the parents in my son's room wrote, yes. So Eric and I kind of waited because we were timing it to come to your house right afterwards.
Right.
So it was pretty close to 9 when most people there already.
Mm-hmm.
And we roll in and there is 3, maybe 4 kids in his room.
Wow.
Out of 15.
So they didn't get nearly the turnout that they were expecting.
Maybe Simon claims that everyone came later, but
okay.
I have trouble believing that, from the mouth of babes.
that's usually something you say, about something that a child says that is inherently true.
Is it?
Yes. From the mouth of... That's what that expression means.
Shit, well, I guess I just totally shot my own argument down then.
Yeah, you kind of did.
Well, yeah,
when a child says something that's very profound...
Yeah, I guess you're right.
When that expression would come in.
Sometimes I know what an expression means, and I decide in the spur of a moment kind of thing, that I'm just going to use it differently.
No, that's totally legit. I mean, from the mouths of babes.
Sounds
usually are words that are stupid.
Right? You know what I think would be fair if that phrase was entirely based on the way you say it? So it could go oh, Jesus, you're right. From the mouth of babes versus... All right, from the mouth of babes.
Okay. I can go with that.
All right. But anyway, so we rolled in and all of his main teachers, they even have subs, right? Or the younger people, and it was all his main teachers. And of course I was like, yeah, we're going to play board games all day. I didn't even think maybe I shouldn't say that and make them feel bad or whatever. But whatever, we don't do date nights. We never get a baby. That was our fucking babysitter. And we enjoyed the fuck out of today.
Yeah, it was a good day. We actually played, we managed to get in 3 games.
Yeah, two of which were
games.
somewhat complicated.
Yeah.
And we went out to lunch.
We went out to lunch. We had a nice Indian buffet.
Mm-hmm. It's the best kind.
That is the best kind. And do you want to do a little recap of the games? Just like mini reviews?
Yes, I did want to bring back up that I feel as though most people have seen Rogue One now. And as promised in the previous podcast, we can talk about that thing I did not want to talk about last time.
Okay.
Because I feel like spoiler territory is kind of... The movie's made like $700 million at this point worldwide.
So and I haven't seen it, but I know what it is. And it doesn't really seem like a spoiler to me, but...
They didn't show it in the trailer, so to me it was a spoiler.
Okay.
I was surprised. But now it is time to talk about it after we recap games.
Okay.
How's that?
So, yeah. So the first game we played... Did we play Looper?
Mm-hmm.
Re-Looper-Loo?
I believe we dubbed it Our Looper-Loo.
Our Looper-Loo, yes. So the game is called Tragedy Looper. It's, I think, published by Z-Man Games. It's obviously a Japanese game originally. When you see it, I mean, it's like it screams Japanese manga art.
It's like I'm in a bookstore holding manga in my hand looking at it. Because the box isn't even that different size than like a manga. So
So originally a Japanese game, like hideously complicated in one sense. But very simple in another. The gameplay itself is pretty straightforward. Once you play a few of the rounds or days of it, it all kind of like comes together.
I'm starting, and you know, I feel like Firefly kind of went like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding that is the exact right balance of interesting game to me. Like if a game is so simple that I get it right away,
mm-hmm.
I tend to get bored. You know, like Labyrinth was, and I'm jumping ahead, but I'm just like, Labyrinth was, and Erica said, like, it was a pretty simple game by comparison. But there are games that, like, are just so hideously complicated throughout, and the first two examples are Battlestar Galactica and Arkham Horror. Like, they're not fun. They're, like, labors of love. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that
some people, I mean, obviously some people think they're a lot of fun.
You know what? There are people who like huffing, you know, paint too. So there's something for everyone, and there's someone for everything.
So Tragedy Looper
was a well balanced game, I thought.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect out of it. I mean, I watched some videos. I tried to, you know, get the game down at least in my head. So
that sounds like you knew exactly what you were expecting.
Well, I wasn't expecting how it would be received by you.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
It went over very well. Without getting too detailed, and it's a deduction game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one player playing the dark, evil, shadowy mastermind, and there's the other team, mm-hmm. I guess, who plays the time-traveling protagonists, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, it's the most succinct way to put it, yeah.
So there's a board, there are like four different areas of the board, there's a school, a hospital, a shrine,
mm-hmm.
and an office building.
You said hospital, school, yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, I thought it was very funny, like it had a board,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't have spaces. It just had a fairly large board that was just four giant sections.
Yeah.
And it, like, placement didn't matter. It didn't fucking,
not really.
Like, you could just put shit anywhere you wanted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
not usual.
And then you get, there are different scenarios. So you pick a scenario, and you get characters that are involved in it. So we had a schoolboy, a schoolgirl, a shrine maiden.
Oh, that naughty shrine maiden.
Police officer.
Office worker.
Office worker. Doctor? And a doctor. Mm-hmm. I think that was it.
Yep.
So, these characters are all involved in some very complicated, dark, nefarious things going on, both caused by them and
victims.
And, being victims of it.
Strung along victims for the ride, whatever.
So, the premise is that the players, except for the dark, shadowy mastermind, are traveling back in time to prevent something bad from happening.
But we have to let it happen first, kind of.
Yeah, it's gonna happen unless the mastermind just completely flubs up.
Like, we gave you little bit of trouble, like just kind of randomly trying to fuck with you.
Yeah,
but you still made the bad thing happen.
Yeah, it's really easy to make the bad, because there's lots of different ways where the mastermind can make things happen. Mm-hmm. But it all goes along with a set of rules.
Like any game.
Yeah, like any game. And it's the job of the protagonists to figure out what rules basically the mastermind is playing by.
And there's a couple ways we had to do that. So there is a main plot, a scenario, and a subplot.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be one of a couple. So for one of the first things we had to do was try to figure out what plot we were in. Because doing that helped us identify who was at play. Like, what roles were at play.
Yeah.
You know, we had to be like, oh, there's a serial killer and a murderer. Okay, so we know, all right, here we go. And
yeah.
There's this and there's that. Okay.
So to kind of put it more simply, there are various sets of rules, like a whole bunch of different sets of rules that the mastermind can choose from to play by.
But they're locked into one set.
But yeah, they're locked in. So, like, let's say we were playing with rule 1A, 1B, and then rule X. And then you've got basically this sheet in front of you that has all the different possible rules and what they can mean and the things that they would let me do and the things that the characters that would be involved.
And what you can't do,
what you can't do.
Which is also important.
So, yeah, it's basically the protagonist, like, watching what happens and saying, oh, this goes with this rule.
This person was here, and that person died, and this thing happened preceding. Yeah,
yeah, so it can't be this rule, but it's probably one of these two rules.
Pure process of elimination, deduction.
Yep, so that's what, and if you like that sort of thing, if you like, you know, like, figuring out things.
And it's collective. It's everyone against you.
Mm-hmm. And it also plays, I haven't played it, but from what I've read and seen, it plays very well as a two-player game.
I can see that. One good, one bad.
Yeah, and it's arguably easier for the protagonist when it's just two players.
Okay.
Because you don't have to discuss with anyone. You don't have to coordinate anything. The protagonist player actually plays all three sets of protagonist cards.
Okay.
So,
weren't we not supposed to be collaborating and coordinating as much as we did? Didn't we cheat?
Yeah, that's kind of debatable.
Okay.
We were learning the game.
Yeah.
But everybody, we had a good time except for me because it was very frustrating for me.
I can't kill
this girl.
He kept fucking with you.
Kept trying to kill her, but it didn't work.
Well, we had like one piece of luck. We figured out who one of the murderers was. And then
there
was no other way than that the other character wasn't a serial killer. We're
like, yeah, but so the
oh, okay.
And just to finish off on this, the time travel premise is that the bad thing happens and then you go back in time.
Armed with everything you just
Yeah, you
saw.
Have all the knowledge, but that everything, all the characters, everything, everybody who died, that all resets to the first day.
And it won't play out exactly the same, but you, or whoever the mastermind is, still has to have the bad thing happen some
yes.
way or another.
Yeah. So you get like however many, you had like three tries, but only took you two.
Yeah.
This is the really easy scenario.
And we cheated, arguably.
So yeah, and the protagonists only get X number of time loops that they can go back and try to run everything again. And you win, the protagonists win, if they can make it to the end of this however many, like 3 days or 4 days, without one of the tragedies happening.
Right.
And you just win.
Yep. Straight up.
Yep.
It's basically Source Code, the video game.
Yes.
Have you seen Source Code?
The movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't bad.
Well, it was all right.
Well, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
There's also a Denzel Washington movie. I'm not unlike it, but I forgot what it was called.
I don't know.
The concept of bad thing happens, person goes back in time.
Yes.
Tries to figure it out, fails, goes back in time again.
But
fails,
each time armed with more knowledge.
Smarter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, that's
actually, it is a lot like
that's
that
not,
movie.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
that's exactly
really,
like that movie.
So
then.
It's
okay.
Also the Tom Cruise movie.
Which one?
Where he fights aliens with the mech suits. What is that?
Oh.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Just like that. Okay, so it's not an uncommon thing. Never mind.
Yeah.
But as a board game, it worked. And we all liked it. And we all have different tastes. So,
next game we played was a game that you and Erica got recently called Labyrinth.
Erica got it.
Okay.
I mean, I like Labyrinth, but it's like, I think maybe it's one of her favorite movies. I mean, it's got to be up there.
She has certainly memorized parts of the movie.
Oh, the parts she had to recite in the game were not that hard.
She was I think she was pretty happy to get
I think she was
the
too.
One card that's like, the way to get past this card is to recite dialogue from the
right.
movie
by memory. Not even it's basically memory. Song lyrics.
Okay.
But, I mean, it is dialogue. Yeah, and the funny thing about the game was it was a hot board game ticket item for this year. So she had to like really try to...
For this year?
It
just came out.
It just came out.
All right.
And she really had to work to get it.
I say that with a touch of incredulousness, but not really.
I mean,
because it plays like an older game.
Okay.
It plays like an old, like an older type of board game.
Well, it's just not as complicated as most of the games.
Okay, then I guess that's what I'm getting.
I mean, they still, it's like, they still make those games. you know that, right?
Yes.
Let me see if I can find the release date on it. Hold on.
I'm sure it's a current release date.
Yeah, it's going for $130. Wow. It's really hard to find. $81, $114. Yeah, eBay, I mean, you can basically only really find it on eBay.
So it's a hot item.
It's still a hot
based
item.
Based on a somewhat popular movie. This is certainly in the cult classic category now.
It's a Jim Henson, you know, puppet movie from the 80s.
With David Bowie.
I mean, you can't call it pop, but it's definitely popular.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a year on this. I don't know if I can.
<clears throat> But
yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, based on what Erica said, it's definitely recent.
I believe it. I have no reason to doubt that.
From the mouth of babes. yeah, so, it was fun. It was simple. Eric had warned us. It was like, look, this is not going to be as complicated.
It was pretty easy. We may have gotten lucky. I don't know.
Yeah, Eric and I were talking about that. Like, you and I kind of had a strategy that seemed to really speed the game a bit.
Yes.
Which wasn't bad. Yeah, all the reviews are from this year, I'm pretty sure. And I will say that the figures are pretty damn detailed.
The figures are very nice.
And begging to be painted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This person did not give David Bowie nearly a big enough package. If you're going to paint
Bowie... That should be a different color, I think. I mean, it should be like silver or something.
Just the codpiece.
Yeah, the codpiece needs to stand out. Obviously.
If you are one of hundreds and probably millions of people who love the movie or remember it, it does have, like, a lot of the major plot points in the movie built into the game, so that was fun.
Yeah, yeah. If you're, like, a hardcore board gamer, it's probably not,
it's like a game to play with your kid, maybe.
It would be.
I would love to play that with Simon in, like, 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, like, there's enough rules to start to teach him, like, hey, there's some complicated things that are fun.
Yes.
You know? But this is not inaccessible.
Right.
I did kind of feel like we were... like a Katamari Damacy, or however you say it, kind of by the end, like we had just glommed onto each other and we're just rolling over all the bad guys at the end as a group.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like poor villains. But yeah, the figures are really nice. They're begging to be painted, very detailed. It's a fun game. Just, you know, it's not on the level of complexity I think we usually play.
Yes. Yeah, I guess that... We covered that.
I wouldn't encourage anyone to spend $120 on it. Just if this sounds like it's for you, just fucking wait a couple months. I'm sure it'll be easier to find.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a reprint eventually.
As
much as demand as there is right now, I can't imagine them not doing a reprint.
Yeah, the board game people were like, when Erica called, like, or she called around,
mm-hmm.
and she got the one shop, and she's like, and they're like, wait, did you pre-order this? And she goes, no, do you have one? And they're like, yeah. We have one that no one pre-ordered. And I guess their husband were like, I guess you can have it. And she's like, will you hold it for me? I'll come right in. They're like, yeah, I guess. Like, they were so surprised that, like, they had an available copy. I guess they had taken so many phone calls. They were like, no, we don't have it available. Crack me up. Maybe their distributor sent them one extra one more than they ordered. And then we played a game that I've been looking forward to, and it has been on my wish list for like a year.
All right, so this game came out like a couple years ago.
Yeah, maybe? This is like back in, I think, 2013, back when Firefly was more relevant than it is
now.
Yeah,
well. So it was Firefly the game,
the board game, and as we were kind of jokingly saying in the last podcast, not to be confused with the much more recent Firefly Legendary game.
Yes, which is the card deck building game,
which is using the Legendary card deck building game system. With the Firefly theme.
Which they've done with lots of other movies.
Aliens, Marvel, DC.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Really?
Yes.
Sure, why not? Well, they're remaking it, so...
Oh, okay. This is news to me.
John Carpenter recently said, like, everyone, I have nothing to do with this movie, and I don't know why it's being remade. Like, that's what he publicly announced.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you can see a train wreck coming from that far away and fucking with what was a fine movie for the 80s...
It was. I still love it. I think,
do too. I know it's not for, if you didn't see it in the 80s and you're not a guy. I think women are not going to really.
Because it walks that line between action, like earnest action movie,
action machismo,
and just complete parody of action movies. It does both.
Yeah,
at the same time.
In a way that there's something about movies back then were so gonzo that they could pull that off, and it's a lot harder to do that now. Like, yes. Everything's so finely tuned now and so, like tested with audience. Like, it's hard to kind of just nail it sort of by accident of just being like, we're just going to fucking do whatever we want. And this movie's kind of ridiculous.
Well, it was based on, if you, like, watch the old, like, wushu movies, I guess. Mm-hmm. These Chinese or Hong Kong.
Flying man.
They're like martial arts movies, but they're very mystical and supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Where the characters are like gods, and they have just crazy powers.
Overpowered people, beings.
Yeah. So it was taken from, I think it was like specifically taken from like Zoo Warriors or something like that. Or Warriors of Zoo, whichever one was first.
I don't know which one.
Yeah, okay. There's maybe one person out there that knows these are two different movies.
Someone was like, oh, yeah, no.
No, it's not Zoo Warriors, not it's Warriors of Zoo. Not the same thing,
guy. Come on, Mike, yeah. Or Smiker, whichever you are.
But, yeah, Carpenter was a fan of that style in that particular movie.
Keep going.
And he's like, hey, I want to make this a movie like that.
But I want to make it my way.
But I'll definitely make it his way.
So the protagonist is going to be a truck driver.
Yeah.
In a martial arts movie, who doesn't do martial arts?
Yes, but he's like the butt of all the jokes.
Right, but he's also like the swaggering, and it was Kurt Russell.
Yeah,
Snake motherfucking Plissken. I mean,
and it was perfect. It was. I thought it was just perfect.
And Kim Cattrall. It was a funny movie. And yeah. Yes, they made a lot of the stupid white guy like humor, which worked great.
Yeah, he's like coming in like, you know, like your 80s action hero,
right.
And just. Most of the time, just doing a completely shit job at everything.
Right, usually making things worse.
Yeah.
But being so earnest and macho about it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, his Asian sidekick is doing all the work and kicking everyone else.
Knows all of the lore and mythology that they're up against and, like, can prepare. And then they have that, like, the one of the two old Asian guys who was in all the movies in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think he might have passed because I haven't seen him in a long time.
I don't know.
It's the shorter one because the other guy is still, I still see him and hear him and stuff. Like he was voicing Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, I think so. You're talking about the villain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, it had both of them. That's right. It had both of them in the movie. I forgot because their mystical, you know, guide was the other one who did a lot of those movies.
Yeah, he was in a few John Carpenter movies.
Oh, was he? Oh, that's why. Okay. Anyway, aside. Okay. Wow. Well, we're back to Firefly the board game. I obviously am a massive Weed Knight and absolutely love Firefly, so I've been looking forward to this board game. This is a dedicated board game only for Firefly. I even had a couple of promo cards for it from my first Firefly loot crate.
Were those in? Did we hit any of those?
No, we didn't hit them. We didn't hit many of the cards.
Yeah, we played some sort of introductory
scenario,
which was pretty... It was meant to be short, but it still took us a while to get through it.
We were learning. We were up and down. We also just had a massive Indian buffet lunch. So, like, the energy level from the morning to the afternoon was significantly different.
Yeah.
I felt like some of my classes where I'm teaching and I'm looking around like, oh, God, I've just lost everyone in the room. But, again, it kind of had that sort of a not particularly steep learning curve, but there was a lot to take in. And then once we got rolling, I think everyone kind of found their groove pretty quick. But
yeah, it actually reminded me of a couple of different... computer games I've played because there's a lot of like fetch quests.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's how I'd put it. So,
but, yeah, and that is you mainly go because here, we you get doing...
a job, and the job involves going to this place and picking something up and then taking it to that place,
right? And maybe hitting some danger along the way,
yes, like, yeah,
some random encounters. But I mean, that was because we were doing the simplest one, we didn't have access to a lot of the crimes and a lot of the more complicated crimes, the heists and stuff,
yes.
So because, like, all the major sequences from the show and movie, I think, are in there in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So. But the premise is pretty simple. We're all Firefly captains for their own ships, and we borrowed a bunch of money and have to pay the dude back, Niska, back for the first scenario.
Yes.
But the game, all the scenarios are, you know, get jobs, hire crew, buy weapons and gear, and then fucking complete your jobs and keep flying.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple premise.
And you've got different... you've got allied space and border space.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Am I getting that right?
Yep.
Okay. Alliance space.
Alliance space, space, and
the so border. You've got the alliance is obviously patrolling alliance space, and they could be a problem for you.
Because a lot of what you do is illegal, will get you noticed.
Yeah, obviously, if you want to get more money, you need to take the illegal jobs.
Right. They pay better.
They do. They pay a lot better.
But they involve contraband and fugitives and getting arrest warrants on you. And,
right.
Oh, yeah, also stealing and killing people. So.
Yes. And when you go out into the border space, you've got the Reavers hanging out.
Space cannibals.
Yes. And they will just murder your crew.
Mm-hmm.
And make you sad.
Yeah. Disgruntled. They'll make you disgruntled. Just a little crying face. Yeah. And all the major characters are in there, but you have to, like, acquire them. Because only Malcolm, the main character from the show, he's the only one that you kind of can start out with.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing felt overpowered.
No. It was pretty well balanced.
Yeah.
My only complaint was that when you went to those different locations, there are decks that you draw from mm-hmm. in those locations, but there you really just buy things.
When you're doing supply stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you could also do jobs depending on
the plan. Well, okay. I'm talking about the supply locations.
Okay.
And I was hoping a little bit it would be like one of our other favorite games that you were talking about. Why can't I think of it? I can never think of the name of this game.
Touch of Evil?
Yes, Touch of Evil.
Okay.
Which, and you said, because one of the things you said is kind of like Touch of Evil.
It reminded me, there's kind of a lot of elements that reminded me of Touch of Evil.
But when you go and get the cards, you're not like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to get. I could be finding a ghost. I could find a hammer. I could find a portal to another location. But it's just things to buy.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some randomness, but yeah, you're right. I did like the discard pile and random pile as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you could use up all of your ability to buy something on just the discard pile.
Yeah.
Or say there's one thing in the discard pile I would like, then I want to draw two cards and see what those are there as well. I thought that was an interesting mechanic.
Yeah, I kind of like finding unexpected things.
All right, well, there's a lot of expansions.
All right, well, cool.
I could look around and see what the good ones are.
But. All right.
But I was really happy with the game, even though I came in last, because I just got distracted. I was I can hire crew members for free because my main character was a companion, like a prostitute.
But you still had to pay them after a job, right?
Right, and I didn't really take that into account. So I was like loading up my crew. I'm like, oh, of this 1,300 I just made, I have to pay 500 back. That's why I fired them all towards the end. I was like, I don't actually need them. I did. What my favorite moment though is when Erica was like, "I'm gonna do a crime. I'm gonna kill. I'm gonna
you do a crime, man."
And I'm looking at her like, "Baby, you have no crew members. Like you have no like backup on this crime." She's like, "Whatever, I'm gonna do it." And then she draws like one of the worst cards.
Yeah, there's like no way to win this.
No, it was like the best role. The role that would normally win is just that you screw up the job and then fail,
and
like,
nobody
that was,
dies.
And no one dies. That was the best outcome. And I was like, I was actually probably supposed to take that card out. And put it in the discard pile because it was a shuffle card. I think you're supposed to take all those out from every deck. So I kind of felt kind of bad. But then she went back.
You
she
didn't
won.
Say that. You didn't tell her that.
I did after.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't realize until later on. I was looking at the instruction manual. I'm like, oh, all of the decks. Oh, shit. Because I did it with the two nav decks. Yeah, well, whatever. She still won the game.
True. She still beat everyone else.
She overcame adversity. Although your wife came damn close with what she described as the lazy approach.
Yeah.
Which was, I'm going to do, like, one job that pays a lot.
Yeah, and then just, like, hang out and get little bits of money here and there.
Well, that was funny that we were all adopting the strategy of bussing tables by the end. And I love that that's the strategy where it's like, if you can't really do anything, just stop at a planet and then do make work, they call it, for 200 credits.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all like, ooh, we could kind of pat our pockets a bit here.
But yeah, if you're a Firefly fan, I think it's probably a great game.
It's a no-brainer for a Firefly
fan. If you're just a board game fan, it's still pretty good.
It's got like a 7-something on BoardGameGeek.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's solid.
And the reviews I read, you know, there were people who said, like, I actually despise the show, and I really enjoyed the game. Because, like, what happens is if you don't know the show, it just feels like there's a lot of lore
mm-hmm.
and background world building to it, which, you know, can be nice. So that was a board gaming game, and poor Mel never got to play her game.
No. Next time
she leaves.
She's top of the list. Top of the list.
So, if you haven't seen Rogue One.
Oh, here we go.
You could probably just turn off the podcast now. Thanks for listening. You're Peach. Happy New Year.
We're not going to give away a plot thing.
We're not. I was so pleased by what we're about to talk about because I did not know it was coming.
Okay. If you're absolutely trying to avoid anything about Rogue One without
seeing. Fuck you! It's been out at this point for about 5 weeks.
Well, so I'm saying you can take a pause.
I already gave him that.
Watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Pause it. Go right now. Right now. Go watch the movie. Okay. Welcome back. Okay. Now let's stop.
So, Christopher Plummer, right?
Yeah.
No.
No. Not Christopher Plummer.
No.
I don't think that's his name. Keep talking.
All right. I thought it was Christopher Plummer. I could be wrong.
I don't think that's his name.
A well-known English actor who died.
Keep going.
What? I thought we'd look this up first.
Oh, okay.
You're going to edit all this out.
I never edit anything out.
This is white noise, and you're going to edit out. Mike is scrolling on his phone and scrolling to look for who is the actor that is no longer with us.
Okay, this was not the way I should have looked it up.
So, one of the, not really a main character, one of the key characters in the original Star Wars movie.
Peter Cushing.
Peter Cushing, okay.
Yeah, I knew that didn't sound right.
All right. So, Peter Cushing, who played...
the iconic Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yes.
In the first Star Wars movie. Who
Not a major character, but a key character. A key character.
If you are not a Star Wars nerd like I am, or familiar enough with Star Wars like Smike is to know who Tarkin was the older British guy who kind of ran the Death Star.
Yes.
And he and Vader kind of butted heads.
Yes. I think he outranked Vader, but Vader was like, didn't really give a fuck.
And again, once you've seen Rogue One, you will know there is a very good reason why people are so terrified of Darth Vader in the movies that is not happened in the movies until Rogue One. And now it's like,
well, okay, even in the first movie, he's just like murdering somebody because they mouthed off.
It's sort of a passive thing. Like, yes, I get it. But even as a kid, I was like, he's bad. But now it's like, he's fucking...
he can murder you from across the room. But just like...
Yeah, but that's not as scary as what happens
okay,
in Rogue One.
Okay, all right.
They fucking play that shit up horror movie style, and it is fucking scary. That's all I'm saying. No one who's seen Rogue One will disagree with me who is smart. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So, Peter Cushing passed away sometime ago.
94, over 20 years ago.
Yeah, okay. But they were like, hey, we want to bring this character back.
Well, this movie takes place literally hours. Like, the lead-up ends hours before A New Hope. It is that close.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tarkin is, within that vein, by that logic, Tarkin's going to be a major character in this.
Right.
Which presents a unique challenge.
Yes.
And I thought that they were going to cheat the fuck out of it.
I don't know. I mean, it would have been, I think... fine if they had just recast his role, because that happens in movies. People get recast and it's not a big deal.
The CG in this movie is so jaw-droppingly amazing.
But they did not do that.
They did
not recast it. They sort of did, but not really.
They did for the special effects, like the practical element of the special effects.
It was another actor, mm-hmm. but and they spent... from what I've read, a ridiculous amount of time
and money mm-hmm.
doing the CG effect to make this other actor look just like Peter Cushing.
And they did a very good job. There is an uncanny valley aspect only in the eyes. I think everything else. Because if you've seen Tron Legacy,
mm-hmm.
they did this with Kurt Russell's character. Jeff Bridges, sorry. They did it with Jeff Bridges' character. I don't know.
They made him look younger.
Yeah, and it looked terrible.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm just staring at him like, what? Like, it's wrong, but it's really hard to exactly say why it's wrong. Because everything about it is wrong.
Because it was all, like, Tron'd up anyway.
But no, but, I mean... was. No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, his face was fully visible. It's not like the new one where they did it with the helmet on. The new Tron movie they're doing.
No, but they did it... You're telling it was the character that was based on him, right? Not him in the. All right, we've gone off the rails here.
Yeah, I'm confused. Anyway, they did that effect a lot, and it did not work.
Okay.
And the guy who did it for Star Wars,
it looked weird.
It looked very weird, and the guy in Star Wars held that up as an example, like we were trying to avoid this.
Okay.
Because we all know it looked weird.
But it worked, and you were very impressed and very surprised.
I did not... none of the trailers showed it. I did not know it was coming. I had wondered how... I knew Tarkin had to be in it somehow. So I thought they'd be doing a lot of, like, back shots. that kind of stuff. It'd be like, all right, well, I'll roll my eyes, but I'll get through it because I understand the guy's dead. And then I was like, oh, shit. He's looking good.
It seems like such a weird thing, though, from my perspective, to spend that much time and money on.
It when is you could just never. Recast it. It's never gonna catch on, and they don't want it to catch on. They said this was like Industrial Light and Magic said this was incredibly difficult and mm-hmm. not worth it. Like from a everyday standpoint. And I think they did it right. They went to his estate and said, "Do you mind if we do this? Yes, we're gonna profit off of this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to."
And it was the ILM guys that were like, "We can definitely do this."
Yeah, and then they went into it like, "This is a lot harder than we thought."
Yeah, but I mean, it was them initially saying, "We can do this. We wanted the technology." Yeah, So yeah, they could have gone a couple of directions, but this is the direction that they went, and I guess it sort of paid off.
I think it did. I think it my
financially job maybe, I don't know, but
I don't think the Tarkin thing made the movie make that much money, but I mean maybe. It is my jaw dropped. Like it was one of again about four times where my jaw like hit the floor. I was like, "Holy shit." As a Star Wars fan, as a student of film who is impressed when I actually see special effects that work.
Yeah, and that's such a small subset of viewers who are going to have that reaction to that.
Yeah, probably. There are a lot of Star Wars fans. Their general reaction is, "Oh, that's weird. That's cool, though." Like, you know, yeah. I don't think most people are going to appreciate it to that extent.
Not on that level.
And it sparked a very weird issue for a lot of actors. So
really?
There's a lot. Yeah, I just read an article today. There's a lot of actors rushing to protect their digital presence and likeness.
So that they can't be
used
after they die or yeah. after they decide they don't want to act in something anymore.
Mm-hmm. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now this just to tag off of that.
Mm-hmm.
You remember in South Park when Isaac Hayes played a major character.
Yes.
He played Chef.
And he was totally cool with them beating up on every religion.
Yes.
Until they got and did the Scientology.
Well,
episode.
Okay. This is also after he'd actually had an accident, and he was arguably not in the best frame of mind.
Okay.
And arguably, the Scientologists were making his decisions for him at that point.
That makes sense. Based on the kind of bizarre.
And this is all, you know, this is all speculation and hearsay. So, you know,
I have
look it up for yourself.
No doubt that the Scientologists are as they are made out to be.
Yes. Again, this is entirely speculative on our part.
They're not going to sue us. Scientologists are.
That's Mr. Carassi saying that, just to be clear.
No, we're an LLC. I didn't tell you that. Surprise!
And the views expressed by him do not necessarily reflect mine or those of Stolen Just Productions.
Stolen Just Productions?
Stolen Dress Productions.
Oh, fuck. We have a production company.
Yeah.
All right, I'll bleep it out so you won't know what I'm saying. You, Scientology! Go on.
They're lovely people. Lovely people.
No, they're not, though. They're all human beings.
I'm talking about Stolen Dress Productions.
Oh, yeah, they're great. No, I love Jason and Company. What are we talking about again? Oh, Scientologists.
So
anyway,
so yeah, in South Park, and then they did an episode where they made fun of Mormons,
right?
They really went at or not a Mormon Scientologists.
Oh, Scientology, yeah, okay.
They did Mormons too, obviously.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, why?
Pick a religion, they've gone at them.
And all of a sudden, Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, Isaac Hayes is like, I can't work with you. This is inappropriate.
Again, never said a word about any other of the religions that got
involved. Yeah, and by all accounts was having a lot of fun. Anytime he's like, "Are you sure I can say this stuff?" Like, yeah, yeah. Like, okay, here we go. But yeah, he drew the line at this, and he refused to work with them, I guess.
Mm.
So they did an episode where the character had met kind of a similar fate, had been in an accident, had gone kind of crazy, and was being manipulated by a cult, basically.
Right.
But they had all of his previous recordings,
yeah,
his voice work from previous episodes, and they spliced them together to create new content out of that.
And killed him.
And then killed him.
On the show.
His
yeah.
character. So on the one hand, it's kind of cool that they did that.
Yeah. I mean, given the circumstances, too.
On the other hand, as actors, and, you know, having sympathy for actors out there, it's a little questionable about, you know, should we allow people to do that? To take your voice, the stuff that you've said, after you're done working with them, mm-hmm. and just let them put it together or however they want to make new stuff that you're saying?
And regardless of whether you're paid for it, which I think you have to be.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you have to be.
Probably.
It's still like, you know, where does that stop?
Yeah.
Where do you end up playing Hitler?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I did not do this role. Like, how is this even possible? So that's why. But yeah, so a lot of actors are taking steps to ensure that their likenesses will never be computer. Well, so some actors are doing the opposite and going to get full. There's like a thing you can get done that captures all of your expressions.
So people can use you.
So you, I mean, and their rationale is it's a legacy for my family.
All right.
So if my likeness, someone really wants to put all that expense into using my likeness, it's there. So
and,
it's sort
and
of.
Who knows, like 10 years from now, you could just be like, throw my face into an AI and let my family have that.
And then turns into her.
Yeah.
Until they evolve past us. Yeah. So it's a weird. Now, you know, he's not the only one in the movie, right?
I do not.
So, okay. Well, there we go.
Well, there we go.
There were surprises for everyone.
Okay.
I did. So speaking of that, and this is much more normal, but I did read a Ben Mendelsohn, who did a fantastic villain playing Director Krennic, kind of talked about the reshoots,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was cool.
Okay. The reshoots came out and they made a lot of news.
A lot of news.
Yeah. And a lot of, I'm going to use the word speculation again. Because people, trailers had come out.
Mm-hmm.
People saw the trailer and like, this looks amazing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden word got out that there were, I'm making air quotes, major reshoots, unquote, going on. And people like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? Are they trying to change the story? Did it not play well with test audiences and they have to like rewrite a whole bunch of it? So people were just going nuts trying to guess.
The rumor train took off and then didn't slow down.
Yeah, and I probably contributed to that a little bit here.
You did.
I did, all right.
And based on what Ben Mendelsohn said, I think they made the right call in a lot of ways. The ending was different, and I think the ending was exactly perfect the way it aired, the way it was in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But what he talked about, what it was interesting to talk about as an actor, is he said, you know, I mean, he's a very good actor. Like, he's a pretty hot up-and-coming, like, he's like, I think could be like the next Dustin Hoffman. He kind of has that kind of vibe.
Whoa.
You're already here first. And I'm not really saying anything original. I think I read that somewhere. I think he's a fantastic actor. But he was talking about the craft of acting and like watching the dailies and seeing all the different ways that Gareth Edwards was directing him.
Mm-hmm.
Gareth Edwards. I had a very clear idea of what he wanted. And then they had to change that. And what they did was they gave him an entirely different emotional arc with the editing.
Boy, that sounds like a tall order.
Yeah. But they had done so many takes that Ben Mendelsohn was like, yeah, I mean, it was all there. But I was just really shocked to see like, oh, they went like, before they went this direction. Because in the trailer, like, he's like going kind of the original trailer, he's kind of going toe-to-toe with Vader. And it's a very different relationship in the theatrical version.
Hmm.
So he's like, yeah, there is a different version of the movie that and most people don't think it'll ever air. I think it would actually undercut. Like, it's so different in its bones. Like,
and
part
I
of me wants
this
to see it.
I honestly don't think this is all that uncommon.
It's not.
Because movies get transformed
all the fucking time.
In post, all the time.
Yeah, endings are. How many movies have alternate endings?
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And you hear who's the director? I'm not going to be able to come up with it, but there's some director who's just so infamous about this, about casting like major stars in a movie, and then just scrapping their footage.
Oh wow!
We'll have to look it up and just put it on the blog post or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, there's this one particular director. He's notorious for it, so he. There are actually a couple of movies where the main character changed.
Wow.
In post.
And you can do that. You don't even have to reshoot half the time.
No.
You can just elevate
that,
the B-plot.
If you have that much footage.
You can elevate the B-plot.
Yeah. And that's what happened for some of his movies. And, you know, he's working with major stars in some of these who are just like, well, I thought this was my movie, right. But it's not.
I'm not even in it anymore.
I'm like in it for 2 minutes.
Well, that sounds like what happened to Jared Leto in Suicide Squad. He said, I filmed enough footage for a whole movie. He said, I'm in it for barely any of it. He also claimed that they told him it was an art house film. He's like, I filmed pretty much an art house film, so this is not what I signed up for at all.
Yeah.
He was pissed.
So anyway, yeah. So that happened.
So, but it's Star Wars. It's sacrosanct before it even exists, right? So.
Are you talking about the canon?
I know. I mean the cultural import that people place on it.
Okay.
So when word got around that these reshoots were happening.
There was panic. There was panic in the streets.
And I was not panicked at all. I said, they're probably doing what they need to. I had a good feeling about the movie from day one, so I feel pretty vindicated. But if the ending had been different, I think it would have been cheaper. Not from a cost standpoint, by any means, but just from
more of a hollow ending.
Yeah, emotionally, it would have been like watching a holocron. I mean, just, you know, it's not as good as being an Impurpose, Wampa kind of swinging at you. That got away from me. it's hard to draw parallels with everything in Star Wars. But yeah, the Tarkin thing was very impressive. I think they've kind of revealed it now, but there is I would say the best space battle of the entire franchise in this movie.
Best space battle of all time?
I don't know about that. I've seen some good space battles.
All right.
But it might be.
Where do you rank your space battles?
Shit. I'm gonna have to get back to you on that.
All right.
Because I got to really think about, like, I liked Independence Day as a kid.
Okay.
Right? So if I go back to that, I'm like, this is not going to hold up. So, and that's not even in space. So,
I got to go back to Wrath of Khan. That was a great space battle. It was basically a submarine battle. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
But it had that tension element. Are you talking about just straight up action, though?
No, I'm talking about strategery.
Okay.
Yeah. So first of all, they brought some other characters back with footage that was never seen since the first movie. So they found some...
They reused old footage, cleaned it up, you mean?
No, there was footage that never made it into A New Hope. It got cut
but
out.
Original, they used that
original
footage,
cleaned it up, and put it in. So there are characters who are in A New Hope.
Wow.
Who are in this, and they were in scenes that had never been seen before. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And there is some strategic decisions that are made that are like, this is awesome. Like, why have they never done this before? So that was another jaw-dropping. Because they didn't really make a big deal out of that in the trailer. They really just kind of showed Scarif and the tropical planet. And then Jin hitting people.
It's hard to show an evolving complex military strategy in the movie trailer, I would say.
No. Don't give it that much credit.
Okay.
I just mean there's some desperation moves that are pretty impressive.
All right. So we're talking tactics, not strategy.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. I guess there's very little strategy in this movie.
All right. But
that's the whole thing is that you really get a sense like, wow, the rebels are fucking winging it all the time. And not always very well. In fact, generally not well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, not a lot of them are great people. And they're sort of getting lucky and then not getting lucky. But, yeah. So, if you haven't seen Rogue One, we probably ruined a lot of it.
I haven't seen it. I know. But I still don't know what to expect. I don't think you've ruined much of anything for me.
I've tried to talk in general specifics.
We're in 5 out of 3 episodes, or 5 out of the 8 episodes of the OA. We got 3 episodes
to
go.
You and Mel.
Yeah.
Eric and I have not seen it.
You've not seen it. It gets really bonkers, but there is a story. Things are coming together. It has not gotten into the heart of Crazy Town yet. I think they've set up shop right on the outskirts of Crazy Town.
Are they like... knocking on the ventricle. I mean, let's be honest here. If there's a lot of space around the heart that you can populate, that's awfully close.
They've got a nice strip mall that they've set out in the suburb of Crazy Town.
Okay, but that
which
could,
is not Crazy Town itself.
But that piece of cholesterol they're on could break off and
It could.
Then it could give the whole thing a stroke.
It could, but it hasn't yet. There have been some times where I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But then you're like, oh, okay, I guess that works.
All right.
So, yeah.
The reviews I read did not make me want to see it. Your reactions make me curious.
I am recommending it. I'm still recommending it.
Okay.
We'll see how that holds up after three more episodes.
Yeah, I still want you to finish it. So, because if you kind of walk around with that like kind of crazy eyes look on your face, like
it's just an experience. I think people should just watch it for the hell of it.
Yeah, that. But you know how I worship at the font of narrative, like strong. Oh,
there,
cohesive
there
narrative.
Is a strong cohesive narrative.
Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like there's a through line that they're sort of adhering to.
There's a strong cohesive narrative, but you might not like what it's narrating.
Well, I really like the byline of that article I read to you guys, where it's like, how to describe the OA? I don't know. Or should I watch the OA? I don't know. Do you like wondering why a TV show is made? But it does seem to have experience written all over it.
It does, and I'm enjoying it. I am definitely enjoying it.
Well, we'll probably check it out. But we just got it. We're pushing it. We're pushing through the Man of the High Castle. We got three episodes left of season one. So dense.
I know. I want you to finish it and then like start watching season two. And I just want to know what you think of
it. I don't think we're gonna. I think we're just gonna stop.
Did you read more about it?
No, I will. I'll research it a bit. But all right. But I don't want another hero's experience.
Yeah.
Where season one was so good. And then season two.
Did we talk about this? Because they
so
Man
bad.
In the High Castle lost their showrunner, which is the guy who produced it. And
yeah, why did that happen? I have to read more. I have to read more.
But they did. He's not on anymore. So word is, and I haven't seen it to confirm this, but word is it got a lot more focused on just action instead of
That's not what the show is about at all.
Thinking sort of stuff.
It's a lot of
it gets dense. More plotty and actiony.
Well, plotty would be okay, but I mean, there's so many levels and so many storylines. Apparently, it adheres pretty closely to the book, like better than most Philip K. Dick adaptions. But the problem with this, and this is what the producer said, was, the problem with this is that in the first 20 pages, there are 19 distinct storylines established. They're like, how the fuck do you do that in a TV show? So, and I was reading about some of the changes that actually made more sense. Like, it isn't a film that everyone's after in the book. It's a book. And the film would obviously have more impact because it sets up more of an alternate reality thing. So I really enjoy it because it's like the slowest burn sci-fi on the face of the planet. Like there are times where I'm like, I haven't seen anything sci-fi-ish in like three episodes, and I'm just like, I'm salivating for it, but I'm still like scared for all these characters. And I was telling you, the bad guys are so competent. Like they are probably the most competent bad guys ever. Like every time you think that, even the characters are like, oh, we totally pulled that off. And then it cuts to either the Nazis or the Japanese. And they're like, yeah, no, we saw that. Yeah, this is what we're doing. So we're going to do all this to prevent this. And that. Yeah, obviously this person's going to die. And we're like, how is this not going to end really, really badly? How is it not going to end like the end of Glory where they're all just being thrown in a mass grave? The end.
Oh, perhaps they can loop back in time.
But that's the thing, is there's still this kind of like, right from the get-go, there's sort of this weird alternate reality possibility that may or may not actually be a thing. Because they're such a slow burn. It's like the longest dynamite fuse ever. You're just like... Boom.
Okay, I was just trying to make a callback to our conversation about the games earlier.
Sorry, I didn't pick up on it.
All right.
You want to do it? You want to underhand it to me?
So perhaps they could loop back in time and prevent that tragedy.
Oh, like source code?
Yes.
You are...
That's Michael Smith. And you are...
And Michael Grazi.
We are Buddies in Space. Am I doing this?
You're doing this.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, books, promos?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing to promote? No no more videos?
Not for me.
Of your beer guy?
No, Clint Westfall's done, dude. Thank God. I just never put the work into it. I never had the time I wanted to make that shit happen. So
that's sad.
Yeah,
perhaps someday in post-production it can be, edited. And
yeah, I'm sure that the technology is going to come along so far that 50 years from now, I'll be dead. And Jason will, in his dying breath, would be like, I need Mike Carrasi to restar in this side story. Yeah. And I'm going to recreate him digitally.
We won't have like Garage Studio. It'll be like Garage Virtual Actor or something. And you just plug in whatever you want, whoever's face you want, make them say and do anything. It'll look perfect.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely perfect. The eyes will be like spot on and the light will be just right and the pupil.
Yeah. You'd be like, if you want to use this past 30-day trials, please send $9.99 to get your activation key.
To see my penis, click here.
That'll be some DLC.
Fan fiction. Eat my-